Welcome to Your True North, a program that explores how values act as a compass, directing our lives and work. Inspiring guests tell how key events and influential figures shaped their values and how they've used those values to create a life rich in meaning, accomplishments, and personal satisfaction. Your True North is hosted by Cindy Camp. Are you seeking your true north? Then welcome.
Welcome to Your True North. I'm your host, Cindy Camp. Your True North is a program that explores values as a compass for life's journey. Today, I will be talking with Father Denny Kinderman and Sister Donna Liette. They are both members of the Precious Blood Order of the Catholic Church. For many years, Father Denny worked in a low-income urban parish in Cincinnati before moving to Chicago in 2001. He is the co-founder of the Precious Blood Ministry for Reconciliation, a restorative justice program in the Back of the Yards neighborhood, where he works with young people who've been involved with the juvenile justice system in Chicago. Sister Donna spent most of her career at Mercy Manor in Dayton, Ohio, a residential home for women recently released from prison. For the past 4 years, she has been working at Precious Blood, where she works closely with the mothers of young people who are incarcerated or who have lost their lives to violence. A centerpiece of Sister Donna and Father Denny's work is the use of peace circles to help those affected by crime talk about their experiences. Welcome to Your True North, Father Denny and Sister Donna.
You know, you've described the work that you do, and I'm wondering, you know, choosing to work with this population, what would you say really made you or prompted you to decide that that was the group you wanted to work with?
If the word call means anything to anybody, it means everything to me. I just kind of felt called to do that, which to me it just means it was a fit for me. I like to tell people right now that I feel I'm right where God wants me to be, and I'm real happy to be there, even though it's a struggle. Even though it's, you know, there's some days when I think, like, do I really want to do this, you know? But I think that, to me, that's what the word call means. It's sort of like that's who I am, and if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, I don't think I'd be real happy with myself. I think I'd just, I don't know, feel like a slug or something. But I think I would just say anyone who's thinking about what am I do with my life, just kind of let it come to you, you know. Eventually you'll find yourself kind of seeing things unfold in a way in which, oh yeah, that's who I am, and that's the direction I'm going to go.
Thank you. And Sister Donna?
Well, I think for me it's, you know, being a Precious Blood sister, it's out of our spirituality that, you know, really, there's a quote that we use, not one drop of precious blood be shed in vain. And I think that especially sometimes persons who are kind of on the margins are looked upon as not valuable and not redeemable and not, you know, part of God's people. And so I just feel called, I guess, as Denny said, to really help all people, especially those on the margins, feel that they have value and that they really are persons that God delights in. And I think they teach me so much, you know, having walked for many, many years with people in prison and out of prison and on the streets. You know, I learn so much from them, and that keeps my soul kind of nourished and motivated. I keep motivated by that.
Well, and the fact that you see that as a mutual sort of thing, that it's not just you giving, but you receive as well, is a beautiful way to understand that.
Oh, yeah. I think, I don't know how many times I'll go to the detention center in the evening, and it's the end of a long, hectic day, and feel like, oh, I'd just soon go home and kick off my shoes, you know. But you go, and after spending a couple hours there talking to the kids, I come out feeling so blessed, so like, wow, you know, this was so good for me. I hope they got as much out of it as I did, you know. It's just... Yeah. It really is.
Well, and I know you've talked about going down and being there with someone who's charged with something, and that in some cases you may be the only person. They may not even have a family member or a friend who's able to be there. So I know that you're giving them something really important. But again, the fact that you see that as a mutual sort of exchange is a wonderful thing. I want to ask you a little bit about what keeps you motivated, because, you know, you've alluded to the fact that sometimes you've worked with young people who end up being incarcerated or reincarcerated, and I would imagine that that can feel very discouraging. And the work you do is many days and long hours. So any thoughts about what you use to motivate yourself or to keep yourself kind of going back to this work day after day?
Well, I think the kids motivate me, though, because, you know, this summer I had 10 young men in a circle. And I have a few extra gray hair now because of that. But anyhow, they kind of wore me out, and they knew it. But anyhow, you know, yeah, they had many issues. So almost all of them ended up back in juvenile. Mm-hmm. And so Father Kelly kind of laughs at me and says, oh, you did a great job. But anyway, but now I'm seeing each one of them. You know, last night I saw three of them in juvenile detention center. But, you know, they're like, you know, they want to do better. You know, like, I want to change my life. And so that just motivates me. Even though they're not there yet, they still want to. And I just want to keep walking with them as long as I can. I know someday, hopefully, they are going to make it, you know. Yeah. So I think they just keep me motivated. So a couple of them said last night, oh, we want to have that circle again. You know, let's try that again. I'm like, okay, let's do that again. So the kids motivate me. But also, I really have to spend some time each day in prayer. You know, in quiet, and get away every once in a while, and to get my own soul nourished, not only by the boys, but by, you know, God and my sister friends.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree with everything Sister Donna just said. That's what some people say in circles sometimes, you know. I agree with what he just said. Mm-hmm. We always say, well, put it in your own words. I'm motivated also just... I guess it's the admission that I go into whatever I do not feeling I have the answers. Just feeling that I'm where I feel I should be and want to be. And let's see what's going on here. Let's see what happens, you know. And I tell the kids all the time, I'll do whatever I can for you, but you have to live your own life. I cannot live your life for you. And as sad as that may make me feel or be, if you mess up, you know, I have to just let you be who you are, let you make your decisions. I think I'm also motivated in knowing that other people walk in a truth and in a light that keeps them firm or have kept them firm. You know, quotes from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and things like that just, you know, really keep you going. For him to talk about how what he calls the interconnectivity, he says all reality is interconnected. I cannot be who I'm supposed to be until you are who you're supposed to be. And it's the same thing that Albert Einstein says when he talks about, he calls it the, what's he call it, the illusion of what you see, because you tend to see yourself as alone or separate, but it's just an illusion because we are all one in this vast thing we call universe. We're all just a part of that, yeah. You know. And I don't know, those kind of deep things to me take on meaning when I apply it to, you know, a hopeless situation. It's like, it's not hopeless. Yeah.
What you're saying reminds me of the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, who talks about this concept of interbeing. And of course, he and Martin Luther King Jr. were friends. But that interconnectedness that you're talking about, and yeah, even Einstein and the astrophysicists would tell us we are all made out of that same reconstituted stardust. And there's such a truth in that, but also such a beauty that we are so intimately connected to each other. So it sounds like you've really seen that in the work that you do.
I think even with our staff, I think that's really a thing that motivates me. You know, we're a really good team. And we really care about each other. When one person's going through something, we're there for each other. And we're going to go off on a retreat next week and just take some time out together to have some fun and then kind of reorganize. So I think it's really important to have a good, strong staff that works together and loves together and And that helps a lot. And also for me, as Denny said, you know, like Mother Teresa is really a model for me, that I often mm-hmm. look to her and think, you know, she just kept on going, even in her old age.
Right.
And so that motivates me too.
I want to ask you a little bit about just meaning in your life. We've talked about values. If there's anything else that you want to say about kind of the center of what is most meaningful for you, whether with regard to the work that you do or to other experiences that you've had in life or things that you've learned from the work that you've done?
I think what is meaningful for me is like the ongoing continual kind of surprises. That I think that's what keeps me willing to not stay so focused on what I think should happen or what I'm looking for. But, you know, life is so full of its own direction, its own journey, its own light, you know, that you just have to kind of be open to whatever lies ahead. And to me, that's very meaningful. You know, it's like... You don't have to have it figured out, you know. I like to say that, you know, like the Old Testament prophet Micah said, you know, just do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. You know, it's just, to me, that's very meaningful.
Yeah. It's simple, but it's profound, isn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah. Sister Donna?
Oh, what gives meaning to my life?
Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts about that? Again, just, you know, whether from your work or other experiences that you've had?
Yeah, well, I think just relationships, you know, I've lived quite a long life, and I've been a lot of places, and so I think just, you know, each relationship that I've had with other sisters, with the priests, the Precious Blood Missionaries, Father Danny and I worked together on a college campus at one time, and now we have the joy of working together here in Chicago. Yeah. Sister Carolyn, that now lives with me and works with me, to have another sister friend work together. So just relationships, you know. I had a foster son at one time, and, you know, he's grown now, but still to have that relationship with he and his wife, and yeah, so many people, you know, so I think that's what gives me meaning to life. Each new person just brings something new to my own life.
Yeah. I'm also curious about, I guess, things that that you've learned as you've gone, and whether there's anything you would change about yourself or any regrets that you have. I'm always thinking about especially our college campus student body here, and, you know, things that others have learned along the way that might be helpful for younger people, whether it has to do with values or life experiences. So I'm just wondering if there's anything that you think, you know, if I could have done it again, I might have changed something.
Well, I would have redone my sophomore year of college, because I ended up, I ended up flunking out because I was having too much fun.
Oh,
so,
wow.
but I think that was all part of my life. You know, mm-hmm. I don't like to think of my life as only the good things, the good and the bad. It's all my life, all mm-hmm. of it. And I always think, like, oh, if only I would have known during my younger years what I know now. You know, it's like, and not only that, I know that even what I know now, tomorrow I hope to know even more. You know, it's almost like, I like to say, I'm a student still. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning. And I hope I never get to a point where I think, like, well, okay, I've learned enough. I'm Mr. Know-it-all. And mm-hmm. so my advice to youth is, like, anyone who's doing your university work right now, just, you know, try to do the best you can. But if you fail, if you mess up, that's okay. You just get up and keep going, you know. Don't ever give up, and don't ever think you're never going to be a student. I would hope that we're all going to be students all our life.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to your point about honesty and being able to acknowledge, well, here's something I did that maybe, you know, I wish I could do it over, but I've learned these things from the experience, and that's certainly very important for all of us. Mm-hmm. Sister Donna?
Well, I think probably a couple things is just having more time for family sometime. I got caught up in my own work a lot of times and kind of neglected friends and family. And I think sometimes we can get so busy that we forget that it's really important to be a part of people's lives. And I think I would do that a little differently, have a little more time with my family and friends.
There's something else that came to mind with me thinking, you know, when you're studying in university on college campus, it's a lot of head work. And you just don't want to think that that's what it's all about. Because, you know, our lives just aren't about what's in our heads. To me, that's what religion is all about, too. Religion can be very much a head kind of thing, very, based on dogma and truths. But once you begin to try to bring those into the real world, to me, that's what's important. It's more like a spirituality. It's more like a, how do I get out of my head and into my life?
Yeah.
You know, what you get in your head is good. It's important.
Right.
But if you just stay there, I think you're headed toward a lot of disappointments and a very dull kind of life.
Yeah, kind of one-dimensional, isn't it? Because there's so many other elements that make us whole. Yeah.
I think also looking at career, you know, a lot of times people look at the careers that will make the most money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that really brings the joy in life. And I think that I didn't really do that. But I would say to young people, you know, find something you really enjoy.
Yeah.
And even though you might not make as much money, you know, is life really about, you know,
right,
joy and relationships and feeling full and feeling like you're really making a difference in the world? I think that would be something I'd like to say that I would do differently. Well, I don't know if I didn't do that differently, but I would really encourage other people to think about not how much money I can make, but how I can make a difference.
Right. Well, we all need to eat, right? But sleeping well is also very important. And I think people who enjoy their work and who feel that their values are really lived out through their work probably sleep better at night.
Yeah, and I'm sure people who have jobs that make lots of money still are very happy, too, because that's what they're happy doing.
I'd like to ask each of you what you're most proud of, whether, again, from work, from life in general. Is there anything that stands out in your mind or a way that you want to be remembered?
Oh, that's a challenging question. Proud of everyone. I would hope that in some way I've been a source of inspiration to people, you know, and I don't live to try to be inspiring, but I would hope that how I am living would end up being inspiring to, in some ways, to others. I don't know. I guess the thing I would be proud of then would be those who have come back to me and said things about how something I said or something I did, usually I wasn't aware of it, but how that affected them and helped them. An email at just the right time arrived just when they really needed to hear that, you know, and I wasn't aware of that and didn't know that I, you know, did all that. But but I think those are the kind of things I can feel proud about, that somehow I am walking humbly with God, you know, even though I sometimes doubt myself.
It's very interesting because what Denny said, too, I had actually written down here is I hope to be remembered as one who loves tenderly and has walked compassionately with others in need. So that's what I'd hope to be remembered by. And I think maybe what I'm most proud of, I don't know, but my work at Mercy Manor, where I did direct a home for women coming out of prison for almost 15 years, I'm proud that I persevered through that, because when I came, the young women who were already there laughed at me and said, "You don't know a thing about all this stuff, drug addiction and, you know, the culture." But I hung in there with them and I learned so much from them. And so I'm proud that I just had the chance, the privilege really, of walking with them and persevering through those years.
Mm. Yeah. That's great.
I think I don't know if I'm proud of it or just glad that I would at times do things that I knew I really wasn't supposed to do, but I just knew that it was something needed to be done. You know, when I first went to the black community in Cincinnati right after I was ordained a priest, it was an entirely different world for me. So I used to go out at night and walk the streets, even though back then priests weren't supposed to be out at night and so forth. But I really didn't care. I knew I needed to find out what was going on, so that's what I did, you know. So I'm kind of proud of those kind of things, that I wasn't just, you know, that I did take some bold steps because I felt that that's what I needed to do, and it felt right to me.
Yeah. Well, they often talk about rather than asking permission, just asking forgiveness later, right? If it, you know,
always
taking a risk and doing what feels right, you know, from your own gut.
And he's a radical. He inspires me.
Oh. So. Well, you know, and I'm also curious about, you have worked, you know, as outside of the kind of community you grew up in. You both talk about growing up either sort of middle class, white neighborhood, or out on a farm. And here you work in a very inner city kind of community, largely African American, although I know there's Latino neighborhoods nearby. A lot of social issues, people in poverty, so many things that are out of the experience that you grew up with in your own childhood. It's remarkable that you've been able to, you know, to really navigate that and create, I guess, a whole different a different world, in a sense, for yourselves.
It's living in a different world, that's for sure. It's totally different. I think that's the problem that we're facing right now in our whole country about racism. I think there's not a willingness to really walk in somebody else's shoes, you know. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you do when you come into, first thing I did was come into the neighborhood knowing that I needed to walk streets to find out mm-hmm. what's going on, because I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. have the answers, but I need to be with those who can teach me.
Yeah.
And I found out a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I bet. And that's so different. I think so many people drive through those neighborhoods when they have to, but don't stop mm-hmm. and get out of the car and walk mm-hmm. around. A combination of, either just in a hurry or a fear mm-hmm. or... So the fact that you've done those things mm-hmm. and really... And you live in the back of the yards, don't you, Father
right.
Denny?
We live by the center.
Yeah,
52nd
right.
52nd Street.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to ask your closing thoughts about living a great life. Clearly, I think that you have lived great lives, but I'm just wondering if you have any other closing thoughts for us about that.
Well, I don't know if it's a closing thought. It was kind of a follow-up on the last question, but I think what I've come to do is really love diversity. I think it mm-hmm. so enriches a person, you know, when you really have a chance to walk in other cultures and places, you know, like... Father Denny and I also were in Haiti together at one time at the time of a military coup with 14 wow. college students.
So oh, wow.
That was quite an experience, too. And, you know, just what you learn and how you walk through those times of that we took risk and
wow.
Came
Yeah, you
through.
Better say a little bit more about that. That's really interesting.
That's the first time I heard a bullet fly through the air real
wow.
close. And,
wow.
I guess maybe that's why even where I live now, it's not unusual at all to hear gunshots. You know,
yeah.
I haven't heard any bullets fly by, thank God. But it's part of the reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So being in a dangerous situation like that didn't put you off and make you turn away. You decided that was something that, like an inner city neighborhood would be a fine place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
I choose to be. I mean, I wouldn't feel right if I was coming into the neighborhood with the kind of work we do.
Yeah, and not living there.
And that's just me. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to tell anybody else how to live or whatever. Yeah. I'm just saying that's the way it is for me.
Right, right. Well, I have been to the center, and I know what I've observed. The atmosphere reminded me very much of how I would feel when I'd walk into my grandparents' home. I think parents are different. Parents have such high expectations. But I think grandparents, there's a loving, sort of accepting environment, a place to feel just very welcomed, always some, you know, something good to eat.
They've called Donna grandma.
I say I'm really great grandma because their grandmas are much younger than
that. Oh, but yeah. I think you've created such an environment of love and acceptance there for the young people that you work with. And I'm sure that is such a key to the success of the program, is that they feel loved and yet... also an expectation to do your best.
Hospitality is one of the, you actually have to work at it.
Yeah.
Because hospitality means that you're ready to put aside what you're presently doing to make someone feel welcome. Mm-hmm. And that's not always easy to do, especially when these kids will come in, you know, Oh, Father Denny, I have to get to court. Well, what time is supposed to be in court? 9:30. It's 9:45 right now.
Wow,
you know,
right.
And that's not unusual at all.
Yeah.
So you have to stop what you're doing, drive them to court,
wow.
And hope that the judge is hasn't called their case yet. But,
wow.
Well, you're just finishing a paper and someone comes in and says, I haven't had anything to eat all day. What are you going to cook, Sister Donna?
Oh, wow. So it requires a lot of spontaneity and making adjustments on your part, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. But I would say to young people to, you know, really take some risk. You know, my greatest growth, I think, has come from just jumping into something that I have no idea mm-hmm. what I'm really doing. You know, even at my age, coming to Chicago by myself at that time with youth whom I had not worked with. I'd worked
wow.
with women.
Wow.
And, you know, and then, you know, just the graces that come from that.
Mm-hmm.
So saying yes to opportunities to grow and stepping out of the comfort zone. You know, I think that's the best way to learn something
yeah.
new and get involved in another culture. So, and another thing I wanted to just say is not to give up on themselves or anyone.
Mm.
You know, I think that's really important, not to give up on yourself. People get discouraged in today's world and depressed,
yeah.
and not to give up.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. a wonderful closing thought. Father Denny, anything else that you want to add?
Well, the old saying, everybody's heard it before, I'm sure, but you can just say, I'm not yet what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I used to be.
Ah, right. Mm-hmm. Having that perspective mm-hmm. and hope for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Live life to the full. I'm an Enneagram 7, so I think you should have a lot of fun in life, too.
Oh,
so, good well, fun, good health, some fun.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank both of you so much. Father Denny, any other? You look like you wanted to add one more thing.
No, that's fine.
No? Okay. All right. Well, we'll end on that very mm-hmm. uplifting note. So thank you both very much for talking with us today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having us on the program. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having our kids here.
You've been listening to Your True North with Cindy Camp. The opinions expressed on today's episode are not necessarily those of WXAV 88.3 FM, St. Xavier University, or the producers of Your True North. For a copy of today's program, you can download it as a podcast by visiting yourtruenorthpodcasts.com. Thank you very much for listening to Your True North.